It's March.
It is.
Means maple sugaring season for the large swath of my life. Although if you talk to octogenarians, they may have told you that maple sugaring season was April. It became March. And then it sort of became February over the last few years. And now I knew some people who were boiling in January. What about you, Phil Corman, your backyard maple sugarer?
Well, this is the earliest for me, and it was the first weekend in February. I am about to break 2 gallons, Monty.
Nice.
And I think our guest today is quivering in his boots about that number.
You're giving a run for his money. Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero, folks, and Andrew Ferrandino from Ferrandino Maple in Hamden, Massachusetts. Andrew probably doesn't remember the old days of maple sugaring when it was in April because you are how old?
I'm 23.
But you have spent almost half your life maple sugaring.
Yeah, that is true. And we actually also tapped the earliest we have this year, which was the end of January.
Yeah.
And we were producing syrup at the end of January.
That's scary to me.
Very scary.
If you didn't believe in global warming, ask a maple sugarer how much things have changed in the course of their maple sugaring. But like I said, Andrew's been doing it 11 years, even though you're only in your 20s. What made you excited about wanting to learn how to make a backyard maple syrup? And then I'm assuming it was backyard when you were 11, and now it's grown into an actual business.
Yeah, so I always just love being outside in the woods, anything to do with the outdoors. And I love selling things. So it was just kind of, it went together. I wanted to produce something, be able to sell it to people. And I just always loved maple syrup as a kid would, you know?
Were you in a family that was doing it? Or were you an 11-year-old kid who just took a hammer and a nail to a tree and slapped a bucket on there and the rest is history?
I just always wanted to do it. And I kind of dragged my father around to kind of go find buckets and find trees to tap at neighbors' houses and round up some pans and, you know, cinder blocks just to get anything together to produce some syrup.
So that was the first early days when you were 11. When does it start to transform into a real business? You got these beautiful bottles with a gorgeous label here.
Probably freshman year of high school, I started doing a lot bigger. My father was involved more, so we were both kind of going at it in our spare time. And then just through high school, I wasn't a great student, so it was kind of a good way to, an excuse to do something else and really focus on something.
So you started out tapping how many trees when you were 11?
About 70 trees.
That's still a lot for an 11-year-old.
Oh my God.
How many do you tap now, Phil?
I'm up to 12.
Each tap is about 10 gallons of sap, right?
Throughout the season, yes.
Yeah. 40 gallons of sap equals 1 gallon of maple syrup.
On a really good year, it is. We average we're about 65 to 1.
Wow. Okay, so now how many? You did 70 when you were 11, and how many are you doing now?
We're at just about 3,000 taps this year.
Wow, that's incredible. There's all sorts of different ways to make maple syrup. One of the ways to make it go a little bit faster is this new reverse osmosis method where it takes more water out of the sap. Are you using anything like that, or are you doing the old-fashioned just boil away?
No, we're equipped with a 1,200 gallon per hour reverse osmosis machine, so we're boiling about a third of the time as we were a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's going down from there every year. It's huge on production. It's huge on sustainability. Nowadays, we're burning about 5 cord of wood per year, making 1,000 gallons. A few years ago, we were burning 15 cord, making 50 gallons.
Oh, wow. So that is good. So
it's very good.
It's good for the environment. And you're also organic maple syrup?
Yeah, so we're certified organic. It's a lot of documentation, keeping track of product quality, and people like to see it in stores.
Are there things that people are doing to make maple syrup in an inorganic way that wouldn't be considered organic?
So some of our processing aids are, we use for our defoamer, which keeps the foam down while we're boiling, is a sunflower seed oil.
Uh-huh.
Versus the other things that aren't organic people are using. So there's
like
a lot of small things.
You can use cream or something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
So we have no dairy products through our production. So it's all just reassuring, keeping dairy away, allergies, and anything non-organic.
Huh. That's really interesting. What are you feel inspired by this, Phil Corman, who's a backyard maple sugarer and also the head of CESA, the local hero, folks?
I'm just blown away because A, there's no way I could have worked with my father on anything. And B, I just feel like there just weren't a lot of maple trees to do this on Long Island where I grew up. So I was like, man, why didn't I grow up in New England?
You're lucky to be here now. So is this your full-time job?
Or? Throughout the season it is, but I do other things throughout the rest of the year to stay busy. But
so you can't live a whole year off of this, of being a maple sugarer?
Not right now at our scale, but as we're growing, we're looking to expand our operation and get into more sweetener-type markets and it will turn into full-time in the next few years.
That's great. And is your dad still involved?
Yeah. So it's me and my father at this point. Too big now for one person, so we both handle our own tasks throughout the business.
Is it just the two of us, as my dad would say?
I'm
assuming Ferrandino is Italian, so I'm talking to you like you're Italian
very
family.
Very Italian, yeah. Yeah, the two of us and a lot of help from neighbors and friends.
And you're not just making maple syrup. You've got these maple candies right here.
Yeah, we do maple candy, maple spread, and granulated sugar.
There are health benefits as far as sugars go to the maple syrup and the maple sugars as opposed to the, you know, the refined sugars and the cane sugars.
Yeah, in our household, we don't even have any white sugar. It's all either maple sugar or syrup for substitute for sweeteners.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Well, let's take a sip of this, Phil.
Yes.
You're a connoisseur as you make your own syrup. Tell me
you
what
have to smell it first,
you have to smell everything all the time. That's my rule of thumb. No, that's the one thing wine snobbery has taught me. Smell everything.
This is our medium amber, by the way.
I just want to say smelling it, you can smell sweetness. And you can smell it's maple.
This was produced about 2 weeks ago, and this is a stronger maple-flavored medium.
Which is my preference. I like the more maple flavor. I don't like what used to be called the grade A as much as I liked the grade B.
Yeah, the goal is, I mean, you want to make a light syrup, which is good and clean, with a good maple taste, and that's what this is right here.
Absolutely. So do you taste, you go around and taste other people's syrup, and you're like, oh, babe.
I do.
They blew it.
Yeah, I've tasted too much syrup in my day.
So what's your access to land in Hamden? Where are you finding all these trees to tap since you say you have 3,000 taps?
We're lucky with our land situation. We actually lease conservation land off the town of Wilbraham, which was the first in our area for ag use. And then we lease land off another farm. So that's a tough thing to find land accessible that people allow you to go on and to find good clumps of maples.
Right.
And the great thing about that for those other entities is that you're actually bringing money to the town of Wilbraham by leasing on conservation land there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's actually, it's a newer concept in our area because we're not an agricultural prevalent area. So it's just another stream of revenue for the town that people wouldn't have thought of before.
And it's not like you're trying to plant a farm there and have to clear cut all the trees that are there. You're using the trees and what the trees are giving and turning it into a business and a delicious product.
So can you go through the grading once again? Because every couple of years it changes. When I loved my ABCs, but now we're in a different place.
Yep. Yeah. So now we have a grade A light amber, usually produced earlier on in the season, lighter maple flavor. Then we have a medium amber, which is kind of my favorite. It kind of balances out the maple flavor with more of a smooth, clean taste. And then you have what's called the grade A dark robust, which is a stronger taste. People that generally like fake syrup kind of like the dark robust because it's more of a bold flavor.
And as somebody grew up eating fake syrup, Aunt Jemima and all that stuff, that's probably why I gravitated to it.
I just like, I've never been accused of like favoring the fake stuff, but I like the very dark because I like the strong maple flavor.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I mean, we're also hosting an open house on March 22nd from 12 to 3. We'll have maple-inspired foods. You can taste some syrup right off the evaporator and just see how the whole process works.
And if I can't make it to that, where can I find your maple syrup?
So we sell online. We sell in about 10 local Big Y's, including Northampton. And a few other miscellaneous small farm stands around.
Andrew Farandino from Farandino Maple in Hamden, Massachusetts, and Phil Corman from CISA with his own maple syrup in his backyard, which I don't think you can get at buylocalfood.org.